The Way.
Changing lives, line by line and verse by verse.
The Way, 101.1.
Signs of the Times is sponsored in part by Bob Johnson Insurance, an independent full-service agency featuring Erie Insurance products. Insuring over 1,000 churches and religious ministries in Kentucky, Alabama, and Tennessee, and even insuring those who attend church, too. If you'd like a personalized, no-obligation quote, you can call 865-922-3111 or visit them online at bobjohnsonins.com.
Current events,
personal values,
political and social issues,
technology, wars, and tensions.
Join us for the next hour to discuss and learn how the things happening in our world today point to God's prophetic word as signs of the times.
Follow the signs. Open your eyes. Read between the lines of what you see. Look into the soul of reality. Open your mind. Look at the sign. Never look back at yesterday. Keep your gaze steady on the narrow way.
We might be born with that sin nature, but we're not born with hate. Hate is actually something that can be gleaned from observation or learned from indoctrination. We'll talk about how hate is demonstrated and prophesied in the Bible so we can recognize it for what it is as we observe the signs of the times. Our weekly review of Bible prophecies in the world's news for Friday, April 25th, 2024. Listen to this episode again or previous shows. Read the articles we talk about so you can see we're not making this stuff up. You can ask Pastor Mark a prophecy question, as we always love to receive your questions and share all of it when you use your friends and family plan. It's always free to you when you visit thewaymedia.net or grab our Way Media app right from the Apple App Store or the Google Play Store. And now, here to remind us that no matter how many times you click to accept the cookies on your computer, no one is going to send you any cookies, is Pastor Mark, who always likes my first joke better than my second. So in the spirit of protesting so prevalent in our country, there will be no second joke today. Please send your cards and letters to Pastor Mark in care of Signs of the Times.
You know, your no jokes, one of your best ones I've heard in a while. That was great. I love it. No, I love it. That's like a big thumbs up. You know, all we need is a little milk for the first joke and we're good to go. Milk and cookies. You know, I wonder why nobody ever sends me anything. You can't even put your credit card in when you click on cookies. I wonder what, thank you for clearing that up.
Thank you.
By the way, my that might be a confusion. Very quiet, just so you know. But I'm just letting you know. No. I'm going to interrupt the show. Let's move right on. But yeah. I'm just telling you.
No, mine sounds quiet too. Okay. But all right. My levels on the board look like they're okay. So I'm going to trust. So we're okay.
So you're going to trust we're on the level.
We're going to trust. Okay. Yes,
all we're
right.
on the
so
level.
On the level.
Let's move forward. Who needs to hear me anyway?
I do.
Well, but I can't hear me, but I hear me all the time. So as long as the people can hear me, we're good to go.
Okay. All right. Yes, we are good to go. All right. Let's get into our articles. All right. All right, as we look at Ezekiel 38 and 39, we visit Israel today, an article dated April 22nd, concern and disappointment in Israel over the strengthening of Russia-Iran ties. You know, you might be disappointed, but you wouldn't be surprised if you would just read after chapter 37.
Straight out of the Bible. You know, Greg, you read these things, and again, we have to make sure
out
we don't just
Torah.
Get used to it. I mean, this is straight out of the Bible in Ezekiel, where the Bible says Russia and Iran will ally and will come together to attack Israel. I mean, I have to be careful that we don't get lazy reading these, because it's happening just exactly so much like the Bible says. It's easy to kind of get sleepy on it. No, wake up. It's happening, guys. Listen to this. In his speech to the Security Council last week, Russia's ambassador to the United Nations, Vasily Nebenzia, anyway, called for sanctions to be imposed on Israel for not complying with the Security Council's resolution demanding a ceasefire in the Gaza Strip during Ramadan. His call is a new and disturbing phase in the ever-increasing tensions between Israel and Russia, which since the outbreak of the Gaza war and even before has distanced itself from Jerusalem and downplayed, if not abandoned, its long-standing commitment to the Jewish state's security and right to self-defense. The strengthening of relations between Russia and Iran of the security, military, and political level is a source of great concern for Jerusalem. No kidding. The lack of clear condemnation of the unprecedented Iranian attack against Israel with 350 drones, cruise missiles, and ballistic missiles, not even talking about October 7th, has caused severe disappointment in Israel. Little by little, it says, Russia is simply ignoring its longstanding traditional position of commitment to Israel's security on the one hand, while failing to take into account the fact that over a million Russians live in Israel and support Israel's right to self-defense. Now, you know, if it wasn't for Ezekiel 38 and 39, Greg, you would never guess that Russia would have anything to do with the nation of Israel. Why is Russia involved with Israel at all? Now, certainly, look, there are a lot of Russian Jews that have migrated back to Israel. Matter of fact, we have helped to bring some of those back over the years. But still, why would Russia be involved in that? If anything, you would think if a lot of the Russian people, Jewish or not, had moved to Israel, that it would create maybe possibly better relations, as you would have more diplomatic things and working together and the transfers and all that. But instead, you see Russia getting more involved in its aggression against Israel. I would have never guessed that would happen, except the Bible says it is going to, and it will reach a fervent pitch. And at some point, there's going to be hooks in the jaw that's going to yank them right down from the north, right on down into Israel. And man, I just, again, you're reading the Bible by reading your newspaper. And if you don't know the Bible, you're missing so, so much.
You know, and I think that's, you know, that's a truism, not just to understand what's happening in the world in light of prophecy, but in life in general. If you don't have the understanding of God's word about anything, about your life, your purpose, eternity, how we got here, where we're going, or any of these other things, you're left to come up with your own explanations, which is part what the world is doing. And a lot of these articles talk about the world's explanations for things. Yeah. And a lot of times it's fueled by hate. It's not fueled by the truth.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, Greg, you're exactly right. And this is interesting to me in a lot of just really recognizing what's going on in a lot of the Bible. I was talking with a brother this morning, and he was talking about how many other Christians he talks to that literally have no clue. Not only do they not know that Russia's involved in Iran with Israel, they don't know, even if they knew they were involved, they wouldn't know what that meant. There is such an ignorance to biblical prophecy. It breaks my heart. Yeah. Because again, understand this, listeners and viewers today, God has given us an amazing gift in prophecy. And here's why it's amazing. The world's going to be going crazy in the last days. God has told us what's going to happen. And by telling us in advance what's going to happen, we can be mentally prepared. We don't need to freak out when we see these things taking place. We can rest, again, as it's been said so many times, that the world is not falling apart, but falling into place, into God's prophetic timetable, in what God's going to do. And actually, it gets me excited because it means that Jesus is about to come back. What a gift that I not only can know what's going on, I can have peace in my heart and be excited when everybody else is fearful. It is a beautiful gift from God. If you don't know prophecy, it behooves you. If you're listening for the first time, learn prophecy. Find a good prophecy teacher. Dig into the word. It is going to make you excited about the things that are happening today, not fearful and not disappointed.
You know, another thing that comes to light as you talked about what this person shared with you and the ignorance that's out there in the church about prophecy, that ignorance to me seems to give way to apostasy, which is another prophecy.
Well, you're exactly
so,
right.
So they fall away, and it's almost like the frog in the pot, that they don't even realize that they've fallen away.
You're right.
Because they've got no bearing. They've got no plumb line to go against, because maybe church has been a matter of attendance, not a matter of attitude or heart or relationship. So anyway, it's just, we could go spend a lot of time on
that. What a great time, though, to remember this verse.
Yeah.
My people perish due to a lack of knowledge.
Yeah.
Not the world perishes due to a lack of knowledge.
No.
My people, again, you expect the world to perish. They don't know any better, and we're trying to give them the good news.
Yeah.
But he says, no, my people, the believers, are perishing because they don't know the Bible. How sad is that?
Yeah.
I think of Josiah. We talked about this last week. When he became king, they had so neglected the word of God, Greg, they weren't teaching it. Not only were they not teaching it, they didn't even know where it was. And as they were cleaning out the temple, we would say today in a modern application, as they were cleaning out the church because they had a new king and he said, clean the church up, they found a Bible. And they came to the king and said, hey, we found a Bible. You did? Yes. And of all places, in the church. Oh, you're kidding. Usually you don't find Bibles in the church. No, not today. But we found one. And you know what, king? I think it's time we bring the Bible back into the church because our people are perishing due to a lack of knowledge. And that is so applicable to us today. We need to bring the Word of God back into our churches and, again, be teaching the Word of God line by line, verse by verse, chapter by chapter, book by book, from Genesis to Revelation. We need to be teaching the entire council or we're not going to know the entire council.
How old was Josiah when he became king?
8. Now, he was 8, but he didn't do this until he was 16.
16, okay.
But at 16, he's cleaning out the church.
Let that be an encouragement. If you're listening and you've got a teenager in your life, share these truths. You never know. You could be igniting the next Josiah.
Next
youth that can stand up in their generation of people.
That's right.
And declare the Bible.
That's right. I love it. I love it.
Wonderful. All right, as we come back to America, we visit Fox News, an article dated April 21st, 2024. This is disturbing whether you invest in the stock market or not. The Securities and Exchange Commission, the SEC, not the Southeastern Conference, for those of you football fans, is hit with a new lawsuit alleging mass surveillance of Americans through stock market data.
Yeah, you know, Greg, you said, well, the investor, now, here's the insidious thing about this is it's too late. If you're invested, they've got your info.
You're infested.
There you go. That's very good. If you've invested, you're infested. But again, I wouldn't go so far as to say it's bad to invest in the stock market, but I'm simply saying it's too late if you're in there. They've got your info. The Securities and Exchange Commission, the SEC, not the basketball and football.
Yes, the Southeastern Conference.
Thank you. Is illegally collecting data of every citizen who invests in the stock market, according to a new lawsuit. The new Civil Liberties Alliance, NCLA, filed the suit today against the SEC, claiming that the agency, through its Consolidated Audit Trail, they say, or CAT program, is collecting mass amounts of personally identifiable data by forcing brokers, exchanges, clearing agencies, and alternative trading systems to capture and send detailed information on every investor's trades in the U.S. markets to a centralized database.
Hmm.
Now, you say, well, how does that have to deal with the signs of the times? This is huge, and I'll tell you why.
Yeah.
Look, the Antichrist is going to need major databases of information on every human on the planet if he's going to be able to control every human on the planet. And so this is just another way that information is now being gathered and collected that can be later filtered for information about people once they receive the mark and they can control them. You know, we mentioned a few weeks ago about how now they're taking every text, every email, every phone call is being held in data right now. There's databases collecting all of it. None of your emails, none of your phone calls, none of your texts disappear. Even if you have one of those, you know, the one that you do for a couple minutes and it disappears after 20 seconds, so your buddy, really, so probably your mom and dad can't see it. Those, whatever, you know, they're still being collected. And so, first of all, there's nowhere to run and hide. You know, we've all the information is there, which means they can use it to blackmail. It also is a warning: be careful what you put out there on email and text. From this point on, at least use wisdom. But the bottom line is they've got all that information. They can use it against us. They're going to. The Antichrist is going to gather all that information, and he's going to use it at his behest in the databases with this mark of the beast, which, again, Revelation 13, is going to be some type of mark on the hand or the forehead that is going to be connected to these databases. So, again, it's happening. You're reading the newspaper. You're reading your Bible. It is happening. So wake up. And let me just say this one last thing. Look, I don't want to say that an EMP can't be used. I've learned new things about EMP. It's not as bad as I thought it was. The electromagnetic pulse nuclear detonations, that they detonate high above the Earth, up in the atmosphere, and they knock out all of your electronics and that kind of stuff. It's not an explosion that kills people. It just takes out your ability to communicate so they can kill you on the ground or whatever else they want to do. you know, I had originally been told years ago that if they did that, it may take 30 or 40 years to restore all the molecules and atoms. Now they're saying, no, it won't take that long. You can actually, it wouldn't, I guess, mess up the atmosphere that much. It would just be more of a temporary thing to shut you down. Then you have to get everything rebuilt or whatever, et cetera. But I will
say, does it fry the electronics?
It does something, I think, molecularly, Greg.
Okay.
Is my best understanding. It doesn't fry the electronics, I don't think. It changes where they don't work. Now, again, those of you that have, I haven't studied EMP, and those of you that have studied it, you may be yelling at your radio. again, my point is simply to say, I know it shuts everything down. I haven't taken the time to study it to find out why. But with that said, I just want to say this. I know there's a great concern about the use of EMP. I can't say emphatically that electromagnetic pulse would not be used, say, against America if a military used it and then moved in all of a sudden, or some other nation. That could happen. But I think if it ever does, it's going to be limited in its scope and it's going to be very temporary, because you could not have regular outages, you know, even the interruptions of the internet. When the Antichrist comes on the scene,
it would be anti-prophetic.
He's got to make sure that everything is working electronically. He's got to make sure that everything is functioning properly, or he can't trace and track everybody by the mark of the beast.
That's his Holy Spirit.
There you go. You're exactly right. The way he's going to control everybody, because he can't be like God.
Nope.
But he's going to do his best with databases, et cetera. So I'm not greatly concerned about EMP, but I do know now, I've changed my position as I've learned a little bit more about it, that it could be something that could be used temporarily, but I don't think you're going to see it, a wide range use of it, because the Antichrist is going to need the electronics.
Yeah, absolutely. In our growing anti-Semitism segment, also known as Jew Hate, we've got a couple of articles. The first one comes from Fox News, dated April 19th. Anti-Israel protesters heard shouting, "We are Hamas. Long live Hamas," amid Columbia University demonstrations. Pastor Mark, I wonder, do they understand what they're literally saying is, we are violence, long live violence?
Yeah, I think, Greg, some do, but I think the majority do not. And before I even get into this article, I want to share a couple things and then jump into it. Hamas, they're admittedly a terrorist group. They say they want to kill all the Jews. They want to wipe them out or whatever. Those that are saying this, there's two groups. On the campuses, it's my understanding that as they're looking at these kids that are, these adults that are doing these protests, 70 to 80% are foreign students. So there's only 20 to 30% that are actually Americans that are even there protesting. Now, it's shameful that even 20 to 30% are protesting, but the 20 to 30% that are protesting, for the most part, are just ignorant. They don't even know what they're talking about. Again, they go out with the microphones. They did it again this last week, and they were asking this girl, "Why are you protesting here on this campus?" And she was like, "Well, we don't know. We don't really know what's going on, but we know that we need to stand up."
Mm.
It was so obviously a level of ignorance that was shocking. And it was like, oh my goodness, and you're doing all this. Now, I think a lot of that is probably your American students. They don't understand the Middle East. They don't understand the battle. They don't know what's going on. And they're just ignorant. That's all I can say. I'm not name-calling. Ignorant just means they don't know. They have no clue what they're saying. But there's another group of them, Greg, that truly come from the Middle East.
And they understand.
They really support Hamas. Yeah. They really would like to kill the Jews and kill America.
Yeah.
And they're even saying now, death to Israel and death to America, the same chance you hear in the Middle East. So it is going to, and I just saw on the Fox News right before the broadcast, now for the first time, Hezbollah flags are showing up, and Hezbollah is worldwide. Their whole flag and stand is, "We are terrorists, kill everybody." I mean, that's really what they're... So they've gone another step to where it's not just Hamas hiding behind maybe not terrorists, although they openly are. Now the Hezbollah flags are, "No, we're just terrorists, and we're here. We're in your backyard, in your face, wanting to kill you. What are you going to do about it?" This article says, anti-Israel protesters near Columbia University were heard shouting pro-Hamas slogans this week as demonstrations geared up at the private campus. "We are Hamas," one aggressive protester was captured shouting on video. The white young lady, it's so funny to me, I see these and again, these young women on these campuses that are making this stand, that I don't even know what they're talking about. When a person asked her, "You're Hamas, wow, you're what? You're Hamas," she answered, "Yes, we're all Hamas, you pig." At least they're gracious in their protests. Another person can be heard yelling, "Long live Hamas." Basically, they have just taken hook, line, and sinker, Greg. Look, here's what has happened. This is the same thing that happens in these youthful, uninformed generation after generation whenever there's a protest. They break the world up into two categories. the oppressor and the oppressed. And if you can convince them that anybody is the oppressor, then they're all going to gather together and just stand together against the oppressor. And it's almost like they ask them, well, how are they oppressing? Well, we don't know. But we know that they are. And so down with the oppressor. And they do. I'm not joking.
Know,
we
I
laugh
know.
About it.
I
but
know.
Greg, then they get the flag, you know, of the oppressed, whoever it is.
Yes.
You can take, look, if seriously, if they didn't know about Hitler, you could take the Hitler, and of course some of them might gladly fly that Nazi flag today. I'm sure they would. But even back then, there'd be groups that would stand up and say, you know, if they could be convinced that Hitler was being oppressed, that he's doing the right thing. By taking over the world and killing all the Jews, we support him. I saw a guy online saying that, yes, he believes that those that are pro-Israel should be put to death. And he just come out saying it. They should all be killed and put to death for being pro-Israel. So we have trained up a generation that is totally, first of all, they don't know what they're talking about. Number two, their ignorance is dangerous. Number three, there's nobody standing, I won't say nobody, the authorities are not standing up to them enough on these campuses to stop this from going on. And they're literally promoting evil to kill. Now, again, we know the Bible says that Satan is the god of this world, small g. We know that the last days are going to get worse and worse, and God's going to allow some of this until he comes in and takes over. But you're watching the last days unfold where violence will increase, as the Bible says, and it says rebellion against authorities will increase. And it's not just like your normal rebellion and violence from occasional university uprisings, the oppressor thing. It is now openly, we are all standing with those who want to kill you, and we want to kill you as well. What they don't understand, and it's interesting to me to see the LGBT community doing this, because they're very involved in this, and the drag queen community and all, they're very involved in protesting Israel.
And they don't understand.
Hamas. Look, if Hamas and Hezbollah took America over, and they'd be one of the first ones killed. They would throw them off the buildings and execute them publicly.
Here's what these protesters do not understand. Is the religious affiliation of Hamas and Hezbollah?
Yeah,
it's Islam.
Yeah,
this is Muslim rooted.
Yeah, but even worse, Greg, they don't know what that means.
I know.
If you say Muslim rooted to most of these students today, they're going to say it's a religion of peace. That's what they're told. They don't tell them the truth about what their teachings are. So you have this mindset that they're a religion of peace and they're being oppressed. And their life is miserable, and Israel seems to be so blessed. Listen, there's a reason their life is miserable and Israel's blessed. Because God said he's going to bless the Jews in the last days, and he said if you reject Jesus Christ, you're going to be cursed. Well, those that are rebelling over there against Israel, they have rejected Jesus Christ, so they live a cursed life. If they were to repent, they would be blessed. And it's the same thing with America. We're not blessed because we're smarter or have a better constitution. We're blessed because our nation in the past has stood with God, and because of that, God has blessed America. And they've got people that hate God saying, kill all those that are blessed because this isn't fair, and they're the oppressors. No, they're the blessers. They've been blessed, and they want to bless. And you're cursed because you've rejected Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. The ignorance is overwhelming.
Well, here's another way, Pastor Mark, that these anti-Israel groups are attacking the Jews. Anti-Israel groups, this is from the Jerusalem Post, by the way, dated April 22nd. Anti-Israel groups rally for campus takeovers, and you got to understand what they're trying to take over.
Yeah, well, the Popular Front, listen to these groups that are on our campuses.
Yes.
You used to only hear about them in the Middle East. The Popular Front for the Liberation of Palestine, okay, that is a Middle Eastern terror group, is designated as a terrorist organization by numerous countries and international organizations, including the United States, the European Union, Canada, and Israel. However, here they are on our campuses. Several national anti-Israel groups have threatened to seize universities across the United States to force them to adopt boycott, divestment, and sanction policies on Saturday, raising the specter that encampments and protests like those seen at Columbia University could be replicated across the continent. So they're saying, you've got to meet our demands to everybody hate Israel and join together to kill them, or we're not leaving. The supposed power of our administrators is nothing compared, they say, to the strength of our united students, staff, and faculty committed to realizing justice and upholding Palestinian liberation on campus, i.e. killing everybody but them. National Students for Justice in Palestine, SJP, wrote on social media, And then Palestinian liberation simply means force all the Jews out of their homeland given to them by God, and if you can, kill them.
Yeah.
The last of the article says, listen how they said this, Greg. You see communism trying to take over our nation. in the footsteps of our comrades.
Wow.
At Rutgers, New Brunswick.
Oh, my.
Tufts SJP and Columbia SJP, we will seize our universities and force the administration to divest for the people of Gaza. Join the popular university and take back our institutions. You know, it's interesting, Greg, when you see what's going on in Gaza, the people, just, now I'm not talking about the war, just if you've looked at the people in the Middle East, the non-Jews, the Arab population, and all the chaos, and you look at our campuses and all the chaos, God said, as you know, the chosen child was Isaac, and through Isaac, the Jews' blessing came down through Jacob and the 12 tribes of Israel. And then there was the other child that was a child of the flesh. Remember Sarah? And he went into Hagar, and so Sarah has Ishmael. And God said, look, I love Ishmael too, but my blessing's going to be through the Jews. So God loves the Arab peoples. He loves them. And they have a place in the kingdom if they turn to God and they turn to Jesus Christ. The problem is the majority of them have not. But what's interesting is he says this is going to be the trait that is going to really signify those that are descendant from Ishmael. And not everyone mm-hmm. in the Middle East is a descendant of Ishmael, just the Arabs.
Right.
There are other people groups from different, but the Arabs specifically are the descendants of Ishmael. And here's what God said about them. He said to Ishmael, you and your descendants will be a wild man. A wild man. Now, look at what's going on our campuses. They're wild. It's not about let's talk, let's reason, let's negotiate. No, let's burn the place down and kill everybody that doesn't agree with us. So you're seeing exactly what God said would be the legacy for those who turn away from God among that movement. And then you're seeing those who join with them doing the same thing. So you're going to see more and more of this. And I'll tell you, Greg, if the universities don't grab this quickly and get a hold of it, which I don't think these presidents will because they agree with it. They won't come out and say it, many of them, but they agree with it. If they don't do it, I mean, this is going to continue to spread. And who knows what it's going to end up like. It's already horrible. It's going to get worse.
Yeah. That's Pastor Mark Kirk, who's helping us understand the sadness that is the signs of the times. Our weekly review of Bible prophecy in the world's news on WIAM LP Knoxville. We are a weekly radio broadcast that becomes podcast number 308 for this week and will be available to subscribe and listen to wherever you get your podcasts. And now,
you've got mail.
Several questions this week, Pastor Mark. Our first one comes from Steve, who lives in Sevierville. And his question is about not eating meat being a sign of the end times. He said, I seem to remember reading or hearing you mention in one of your sermons that the killing and eating of animals will be considered bad and is a sign of the end times or the tribulation period. I have tried to find it in scripture, but haven't been successful. If you know where it's located, please let me know.
Yes. And you know what? I thought I had that scripture called up. It's in Thessalonians right here. I'm calling it up right now.
Okay.
I apologize for that. I thought I had it ready, but it talks about forbidding. Here it is. This is actually in 1 Timothy. I apologize. This is 1 Timothy 4:3. And let me read what it says. Let me back up to 4:2. Let's start from the beginning. It says, now the Spirit expressly says, this is 1 Timothy chapter 4, that in the latter times, and the word latter, just so you know, our prophecy students out there, L-A-T-T, because my diction is sometimes not so good, and Siri is so bold to remind me of that on a regular basis. The latter times.
Not the latter times.
Right. The latter times, this is a reference that's used all through the Bible to talk about the very end, the Great Tribulation and Jesus Christ. Last days is not. Last days covers the last 2,000 years. Latter days or times refers to the last 7 years and the return of Christ or the very end. Now, the Spirit expressly says that in the latter times, some will depart from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons, speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their own conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry, and commanding to abstain from foods, which, again, part of the meaning of the word foods is meats, and commanding to abstain from foods which God created to be received with thanksgiving of those who believe and know the truth. Now, it's not just meat. It can be other foods, but included in that meaning of that word is the meat of animals as well. So when you get to the root of that word foods there in 1 Timothy 4, it is in that, included in that is the forbidding of eating meat, which is interesting to me because that's exactly what we see going on right now with this whole push against cattle against, you know, hamburger, against whatever, don't eat meat. It's something the Bible says would happen toward the very end, and we're watching it happen. So great question, but hopefully that answers your question.
Yep. You know, and I even forgot to mention at the beginning of all of our questions, Pastor Mark, we didn't even think we were going to be here to do a show today, so I told all these people they wouldn't get their answers until May 3rd, and you're getting your answers today,
so I apologize
for the confusion. But as we like to say in ministry and in life in general, blessed are the flexible.
There you go.
All right, our next question comes from Sharon, enjoying Signs of the Times in the Villages down there in Florida. And her question is about the November presidential election. She's referring back to when Pastor Jack was here, and he was actually on Signs of the Times. And she says, when Pastor Jack Hibbs was on the podcast, he mentioned that his sources told him that there may not even be an election. He failed to elaborate on why this might be. Do you have any further information on what he meant?
Yes. I don't want to speak for Jack. First, let me say this. I'm not going to say that I can tell you exactly what Jack meant, because I'm not in that place. But I can tell you what I think he was probably referring to, because I've heard the same thing. So I'll speak for me and try to say that I think maybe he was talking about this, but I'm not speaking for Jack Hibbs. I'll let him speak for himself on that. I'd never want to misrepresent a brother. And a dear friend that I love. But either way, I what the rumors are out there is that in order to, you know, our leadership and really the world leadership is willing to do most anything to stop President Trump from coming back into power. They want to keep the liberals in power so they can continue on this, what they don't know is the last day's agenda,
yes,
but it is.
But they don't know.
And it's demonic, and Satan wants to keep that in there. So Satan is moving through these leaders to try to do that. Well, one of the ways you can stop that is if they create such a chaotic event, a massive national emergency, for whatever reason, the president can declare martial law. And if the president declares martial law, he has the power to stop everything in his tracks, which means if they declared martial law right before the election, there would be no election. So we're not having an election. It looks like the nation's headed into civil war, or there's been a giant, we're about to be attacked in war, or there's some major reason, or there's a new, something that's been, released to get everybody sick or do whatever. We're doing something right now type thing to shut it down. And that could be, I think, a Hail Mary, as they say, that bomb toward the end zone. If they see they're going to lose, there's nothing else they can do. Some believe that they actually will try to create a situation to have martial law and therefore shut down the elections. And if that happens, the elections are shut down. As long as there's martial law, they can pretty much, whoever's in power stays in power. If they did that, there would be no election. And you say, well, that would cause civil war. Well, it might be civil war that causes them to declare no election. The reason I say that is there seems to be also almost a push. There seems to be a group out there that's trying to get people on different sides so agitated at each other that they go to war. There was even a recent movie released about civil war in the nation and all this. And so it's almost like they're forecasting. They hope something like that happens.
What a coincidence.
Yeah. And again, the Bible says in the last days, remember, ethnos will rise against ethnos, which means different ethnic groups. Now you've got all these, the Muslim population that has moved in, have been let in by the millions here from the Middle East. You've got, again, those coming in from Mexico. You've got here in America, the tensions that people try to build between the black and white community. And the Bible says these different ethnic groups, ethnos against ethnos, it's going to get more heated in the latter days, L-A-T-T-E-R. So again, if you heated that up and got everybody fighting, you may have to call martial law. If there was some major pandemic, may have to call martial law. If there was some, you get the point, national emergency, we're about to be destroyed or taken over by China. So no elections. There's any number of scenarios, but I think martial law is what I would say is probably the most likely. I can't speak for Pastor Jack, what he was saying, but those are the rumors that I've heard from my sources.
All right, Pastor Mark, our next question comes from Judith, enjoying Signs of the Times in Sevierville as well. She says, I was listening to a podcast and heard it said that according to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, for those who heard and refused the free gift of eternal life before the rapture will not have a second chance to receive Jesus. Is this true? I understand there will be some who, no matter what, will not want Jesus, but I know there will be some who just at the time did not want to receive him because they weren't ready, didn't want to give up the fun in their life, etc. What about those who do know what happened but didn't receive? Don't they get a second chance? And of course, she gives you the link to the podcast for you to watch.
Yeah.
And so what say you?
Yeah, and I did watch the podcast.
Okay.
It was a great podcast, once again, by Pastor Jack.
Oh, was it so a Jack Hibbs
spot?
Okay.
It was great. I love Jack. It was great. Okay. And I think that, you know, let me just say, after watching it, listening very closely, Judith, I think you misunderstood what Jack was saying. Jack never said that someone who is unsaved before the rapture, and then the rapture happens, does not have a chance to be saved.
Yeah.
He wasn't saying that. If you go back and listen to it, all he says is those that are unsaved who miss the rapture, again, they don't have a chance to go in the rapture. It's too late. They missed it. But he goes on to say they indeed can be saved. As a matter of fact, he gives an appeal to them to read the Bible and to repent and turn to Christ. So I think there's some confusion maybe in what you thought he was saying. You may want to go back and listen to it again, whatever. But here's the bottom line. No, he didn't say you couldn't be saved after the rapture. Here's what he's saying. Look, if you don't know Christ right now, you're not saved, you're an unbeliever, and the rapture takes place, as Pastor Jack said, you will be left behind. You will not go. You'll be here for the Great Tribulation. And it's interesting, that particular podcast is something he did speaking specifically after the rapture's happened to people that are watching it.
Mm.
He says, now, the rapture's taking place. People disappeared. Here's what you need to do. So it is a rapture podcast, after rapture podcast.
Post-rapture.
Yeah, after action drills. But after, yeah, so our gun guys out there, shooters, who know what I'm talking about. Anyway, so he wasn't saying that if you're a believer, you're going to go in the rapture. So if you're saved and the rapture takes place, the Bible says you will go. You'll be taken. You're the bride of Christ. But if you're an unbeliever, you're not going to go anyway. But if the rapture, once it takes place and you figure it out and go, oh no, they were right. I now realize they were right and I was wrong. And he addresses that in his podcast. Yes, you can still be saved. But now, in order to do it, here's, and if he made some reference to not being saved, it would have been, you can't be saved from the wrath. You can't be saved from the consequences. You would be saved from the wrath of God, but you can't be saved from the consequences. That is, you're going to be more than likely put to death. Most people will be. You have your head cut off if you make a stand for Christ. Some are going to make it through. We know that because the sheep and goat shows us that. But the majority of people are going to be put to death if they miss the rapture and then give their life to the Lord. As a matter of fact, it's going to be after the rapture when the Jews get saved. They're going to be the first fruits. That 144,000, the 12,000 from each tribe, they are the first fruits of the kingdom. And so they're going to be leading other people to the Lord. So yes, you can be saved after the rapture. That's again what he was talking about. By the way, it's interesting. Today is the day of first fruits on the Jewish calendar, which again, you know, which is interesting. We'll get to it in a second because it's the last question.
Okay.
But today on the Jewish calendar, it's also would be the day Jesus resurrected from the dead would be today.
Wow.
This would be what we celebrated as Easter a while back, because this is the Feast of First Fruits today. And that was the day 3 days after the Lord died on Passover. They started their Passover on Monday, the Jews did. This would be the day he resurrected. But we'll get to why in the next question. But hopefully that answers the question for you. I'd encourage you to go back and listen to it again, Judith, and I think you'll understand. He's saying the unbelievers aren't going to go anyway. He's saying, yes, people can be saved after that. But he's saying,
but
look,
it's going to cost them.
Yes, I think what he was getting at too is this. Look, if you know about the rapture right now, but you're not saved, if you know about the rapture right now, but you've never given your life to Christ, you will be left behind. But again, you can be saved after that if you simply receive the Lord. You're just going to now have to have your head cut off, probably.
Well, yeah. And Judith, to that point, you know, if you run into someone or you know someone who's like that, you know, the question that I would ask this person is this. If you can't live for Jesus now, what makes you think you can die for him then?
That's right. That's right. That's right.
And that's a question.
And yet some will.
Some will.
We know they will. The Bible says there'll be many getting saved. They'll be put to death for their faith. We just want to try to get as many people in the kingdom before the rapture takes place.
All right, Pastor Mark, our last question comes from Noreen here in Knoxville regarding two Passovers. She says, we are taught that Jesus' crucifixion and resurrection happened before and at Passover. Yet the calendar says that the Jews are celebrating Passover this week. And of course, this was sent on Friday, April 19th. Please explain why Passover is celebrated at different times in different locations.
Okay, real quickly, the reason we have the leap years is in the tropical year, you have like 6 hours longer than a calendar year on the 365 days. As they follow it, it adds a leap day. Just by natural, they build it in every 4 years without exception. It just kind of happens the way they've calculated their calendar with the rotations and all. But with the Gregorian calendar, it addresses this by simply employing a slightly more complicated set of rules where they just make up the days by altering the calendar. So on our calendar and on some other calendars historically, it's been made up in different ways because it's not an exactly the rotation is not exactly perfect on 365 days. I think it's 365 and a third days, somewhere right around there every year, which means it throws the calendar off. It may be 365 and a fourth, which is why they do it every 4 years, but it's somewhere in there and they try to make it up. Now, that's how we do it here. The Jewish calendar is very, very different. Now, remember, the Jewish, they have two calendars. They have the same calendar that we use, that the rest of the world uses, because they have to do
business. For daily life.
Yeah, they got to do business with the world. They've got to make plans. They've got to work with everybody else. So they need to know what day it is that everybody else is looking at, right? And that'd be crazy. But then they have what they call their religious calendar. And it totally operates off of the rotation of the earth and the moon, et cetera. It starts with the moon. Every month is based on the moon. Well, it for the most part is 30-day months, but some of them are 29 with the moon and all. So you have this 29-30, and then over time, you get out of sync with the rest of the world. You get out of the lunar months, get out of sync, if you will. And so in some years, they have to add a second month. And they add a second month of Adar.
Adar, okay, well, yeah.
And this year is that year.
Mm.
They've added a second month, which means we've had two. Everything they do, you know, is like it's happening twice here during this time. We saw they came to the calendar where they celebrated, you know, where again, it would have been celebrated, Esther and Haman and all that, but they didn't celebrate it because they added a second month, and then a month later they celebrated it. The same thing is true now with Passover. We celebrated Easter, Resurrection/Passover a while back because we're still on the calendar that just kind of corrects itself every 4 years, whereas they are on the one that corrects it by a whole month every so many years. Okay, and so they add Adar to it, and again ensures that I'll read this. The system ensures that the Jewish holidays, many of them tied specifically to seasons such as Sukkot at fall harvest and Passover in the spring, do not migrate around the solar year. The Jewish calendar operates on a 19-year cycle, which during which there are always seven leap years on the 3rd, 6th, 8th, 11th, 14th, 17th, and 19th year of the cycle. So now we're in a second month of Adar right now, and that's exactly what's going on. This is when they have their fall, the harvest is coming in right now, so it's really on target. What they do is they reset it. And so it's done by their feast day. They would have the Passover, and then 3 days later, the first fruits, your first of your crops, you offer that to the priest. And so this year, it's when everything was growing. They had their Passover, they scheduled it for Monday the 22nd, and then today is the day they would have cut the first of their first fruits and take it to the temple. Since they have no temple, they're not doing that, but that hopefully explains a little bit about what's going on. Different calendars and different ways that we work and they work on the lunar cycle.
Yeah, great questions. And if you've got one for Pastor Mark, just visit thewaymedia.net or the Way Media app and look for signs of the times. All right, pestilence, plagues, disasters, and corruption. Or smorgasbord of the end times.
Or Congress, that's how we say it.
Could be that, too.
Congress and Senate.
That's right. All right. Our first article comes from Reuters, dated April 21st. Massive river flooding expected in China's Guangdong, threatening millions. So this was over 5 days ago. So
yes.
I don't know if you have new information.
No, I don't have new updates on it. But again, we bring this in here because, again, the Bible says in the last days, all these disruptions of the earth are going to take place because the earth is growing. Remember, it's not because of man. And some kind of climate change. Man can't make the climate change. And it's just, listen, God is in control of all that. It's simply what God said would happen. Romans 8:22, the earth is groaning in the last days. It says major rivers, waterways, and reservoirs in China's Guangdong province are threatening to unleash dangerous floods, forcing the government on Sunday to enact emergency response plans to protect more than 127 million people. Calling the situation grim, local weather officials said the sections of the rivers and tributaries and these basins are hitting water levels in a rare spike that only has 1 in 50 chance of happening in any given year, they declare. Guangdong officials urged, of course, that's going to change because of the last days. Guangdong officials urged departments in all localities and municipalities to begin emergency planning to avert natural disasters and promptly disperse disaster relief funds and materials to ensure affected people have food, clothing, water, and somewhere to stay. Now, you're going to see more of this. That's why you made your kind of grim comment about the things in the last days. Again, especially grim if you don't know the Word of God, we rejoice because we know that we don't rejoice in these events, but we rejoice because we know we're getting closer to the Lord's return. Well, all this kind of stuff will stop forever. But again, you're going to see more and more of these rare, massive floods, more and more rare, massive hurricanes, more and more rare, massive earthquakes, et cetera, et cetera. The closer we get to the Lord's return, like a woman having birth pangs, as Jesus said, this is another sign, Greg, of the times.
Yeah. Well, Pastor Mark, 2 days after that event, Reuters on April 23rd reported that neighboring Taiwan was rattled by more than 200 quakes, but no major damage.
I mean, think about that. 200 earthquakes.
And,
again.
And then no major damage.
Yeah, again, wow. You know, I would be worried about, you know, hopefully it's kind of breaking things free gradually, then some major thing coming on. So maybe it's good they had 200 small ones. I don't know. But Taiwan's quake hit eastern county of Hulin was rattled by more than 200 aftershocks late on Monday. Now, wait a minute, aftershocks? That's right. Didn't they have they had an earthquake before that on Monday or earlier Tuesday? Maybe we talked about that last week. Either way, I'll look and see.
Yeah, or maybe we didn't because of Pastor Jack was here or something.
Yeah, I see so much of this. Yeah. Like so many articles. I forget which ones we've run into and not done on the air. But Monday, it happened on Monday and early on Tuesday. But only minor damage was reported and no casualties. And major chip maker TSMC said it saw no impact on operations. Yeah, that's right. There was a Taiwan earthquake. Buildings across the parts of northern, eastern, western Taiwan, including the capital Taipei, swayed throughout the night, with the largest quake measuring 6.3 magnitude, and all were very shallow. 6.3, that's a pretty big boy. That's not a small earthquake. And shallow, you know, again, I don't know which does more damage, but I mean, shallow seems to me that it's going to shake the place even all the more because it's closer to the surface. But again, you're going to see more and more of these type of quakes because, again, birth pangs, last days.
All right, birth pang here of another kind. This comes from Breitbart.com, dated April 25th. Drag queen tells children to chant Free Palestine during story time.
Yeah, let's talk about this a minute, even before I jump into it. You know, something, Greg, we've talked about before, Satan knows how to destroy a nation and a people wherever they are, and that is you get the children. If you focus in on the children, see, once adults are adults, it's hard to sway them. It's harder to sway them. They can be, but harder. But if you get kids, that's their moldable years. That's their moldable age. And that's why you see such a push in our schools, as well as societally, for kids to be indoctrinated in the beliefs that Satan wants them to have before they can become an adult. Because once you become an adult, as I said, it's much harder. As a matter of fact, the majority of salvations, percentage-wise, which God has not locked into percentages, but it's interesting to look at this percentage, the majority of salvations, percentage-wise, happen in the early years of life. The teens, especially. The 20s, it still happens, but goes down. And once you hit the 30s and on, if I remember those numbers correctly, it starts dropping radically. And really, statistically, by the time you get in the 80s, it's impossible to be saved. Now, I've known people in the 80s that have gotten saved. So obviously, it is not impossible. I would say it's statistically impossible without God. But with God, all things are possible, and you can be saved. And why is that? Our hearts are made supple and moldable at birth. The older we get, the more firm and hard, just like our arteries, our heart becomes. And so it's harder to reach people. So you're going to see more and more perversion and false teaching and doctrines of demons coming at our kids in a greater and greater measure in the last days because Satan knows that's when he can grab them. And that's exactly what's happening here. Now, look, again, before we jump into this, we all knew years ago that drag queen, this kind of stuff, everyone knew that was wrong. Everyone knew that was something that was not accepted, not only by God, but even by society. And yet now, because it's been so brought in and just like so openly put in everyone's face, so to speak, and become a political issue, Satan knows what he's doing. If you make something a political issue and get somebody emotional about it, they'll approve of it, even if they believe it's wrong initially, because they want their side to win. And so what's happened is the LGBT issue, the drag queen issue, all the gender issues, They've been grabbed to be used by politics. And so what happens is if you speak out against it, you're a hater. You're somebody who's evil or blah, blah, blah. And nobody wants to be called a hater. Nobody wants to be called evil. So because of that, it's used politically. And then once you get it in the political realm, well, now you can pretty much use that however you want. And that's exactly what's happening here. And of all things, notice this. Story time. The chant was led by drag queen Little Miss Hot Mess, it says, at the Northampton Center for Arts on April 14th. The name alone should have kept them from being anywhere around children.
In Massachusetts.
Yes. The Center for Arts, April 14th, during an event entitled Queer Story Time for Palestine. How bizarre. Now, look at this for a minute before we even go on. First of all, why would you have queer story time for children and lead them down a path of destruction, number one? But secondly, what does that have to do with Israel or Palestine or anything overseas? Again, it shows, Greg, how Satan, he must be laughing and mocking everyone so greatly, because not only does it have nothing to do with Palestine, they don't realize, as we said earlier, they're the first ones to be put to death in Palestine for this.
And at what point do we talk about the parents that allow their children to be exposed to this?
I have to believe, Greg, it is pure politics. It has to be the liberal mindset.
Or do they even know?
Well, I'm sure they don't understand. Look, they don't know. I guarantee you, they probably don't know that if they were to go and try to do this in Palestine, they'd all be killed. They don't know that.
That's true.
Yep. And they also don't understand why it wouldn't be connected to Palestine. Why? Because what Satan does, anything that is a hot button political issue, roll it all together, you get more impact. So again, it's just, this has nothing to do.
He's the author of confusion.
Yeah. And again, as we said, people don't even understand, Greg, the history of Palestine.
Yeah. No.
I mean, look, once again, let me explain. In the 130s, I think around 135, Hadrian, the emperor at that time, he hated the Jews so much, he took what was called Israel, the land of Israel, and renamed it to Palestine, which means Philistine, because he hated Israel and he knew that one of their greatest enemies were the Philistines. So we're going to call their land now the land of the Philistines. So that's where Palestine comes from. Now, and so Israel was put out of the land as a consequence, a judgment of God, because they rejected their Messiah. And so the name stuck. And then anybody who lived in that region, Jew or Gentile, you lived in the land of Palestine because that's what people called it. It was just its name. You wouldn't call it anything else because that's what it was. It didn't change from Israel to Palestine. It just, Israel was just kind of gone for a while and renamed by a guy that hated them. So everybody prior to 1948, and maybe even 47 is when it changed, everybody in Israel was called a Palestinian. Even the Jews. The Jews were called Palestinians because it just meant people that lived in that land. But none of them were Philistines. The Jews aren't Philistines. Those today that call themselves Palestinians, they're not Philistines. The Philistines are extinct, and we can prove that now genetically by DNA testing. God said they'd be extinct, and indeed they are extinct. There are no known Philistines worldwide. They've been annihilated. God judged them because of their opposition to Israel. So even the whole thing that is so crazy. So when everybody's saying Palestine and give them their land back, what you mean is give Israel their land back and give it the name that it was. So when Israel again renamed themselves the ancient name that it was in 1948, everybody freaked out. But that's exactly what, again, the land of Israel is called. They are, it's Israel, it's their land. And so, and Greg, it's interesting, and I'm taking a moment to explain this because I think it's important. We have the time.
Yeah.
It's interesting. You hear a lot of people today say, well, the reason the Jews are being oppressed is because of their religion. That's true, but that's also a deceptive statement.
Yes, it is.
Even on the campuses, their religion is being attacked and we need to protect their religion. That may sound like a good thing. This is not about their religion. This is about their ethnicity as a people group. And the fact that if you call them a real ethnic group, if you say the Jews are a people and not just a religious movement, if you say they're a religious movement, big deal, they're like any other religious movement. But if you say they are a people group that has that religion, then now that means they've got a homeland. And if they've got a homeland, where is that homeland? It's the nation of Israel. You know, it's interesting. We now have found actual plaques with King David's name on it in excavations in Israel. Well, it says King David. Let me ask you a question. King of who? Who is he king of? He was a king of some land.
Some people group.
A
right?
people group and a land.
Yes.
You have to have a people group and a land to be a king, right? Who was it? It was the Jews, which means they have had an historic and ancient land and people group, and now God has brought them back in the land, their land, with their people group as God said he would do in the last days. And so this whole thing is just, again, it's being used. Satan is using what is working in America, the gender issue, with what is also working in America among some, somehow making, again, the oppressor and the oppressed. Israel's the great oppressor because how dare they defend themselves? And then you have those that are oppressed, you know, the Palestinians or whatever. And so put them together, queer story time for Palestine. The event organized by Valley Families for Palestine was intended for preschool through upper elementary school age children. The outlet noted, this man, wore a sparkled red dress, green boa, and a large watermelon-shaped brooch while reading the book, If You're a Drag Queen and You Know It. And he sang this song, oh, if boy. You're a drag queen, if you drag queen hands. And love Palestine, clap your hands or whatever. The event also explored the queer heroes and led children in arts and crafts while celebrating the Palestinian culture. Again, it was heard leading the children in chants of, if you're a drag queen and you know it, shout Free Palestine. And those kids don't know what they're doing. But they're being used right now for the uses of the enemy. Get the next generation, get the kids, and you can win the next generation. That's exactly what Satan's doing. Same thing he's done for generation after generation.
Oh, boy. We need some good news, Pastor Mark.
Yes, we do.
So let's go to Christian Headlines, dated April 16th, to find Masters golf champion Scottie Scheffler crediting Jesus. He says, my future was secure on the cross. I love that statement.
It's great.
Wow.
Yeah, because he talks about in the article what he was saying. He said, listen, professional golfer Scottie Scheffler said he woke up Sunday morning before the final round of the Masters in Augusta with anxious thoughts. But took solace knowing that his future was secure in the cross. And he was like, as badly as he said he wanted to win, and he had all this nervousness, his friends said, look, whether you win or lose this tournament, you are secure in Jesus, and that's your place to focus. And it got him refocused. What a great – we all need to stay
wonderful.
Focused that way.
Yeah.
It says, hours later, Scheffler, an outspoken Christian and world's number one golfer, was celebrating his second Masters title in 3 years. His friends then gave him some advice straight out of the Bible. And he said, and my buddies told me this morning, you know, my victory was secure on the cross. And that's a pretty special feeling to know that I'm secure forever. And it doesn't matter whether or not I win this tournament or if I lose this tournament. You know, my identity is secure forever. Isn't that great?
Wonderful. Love
Again,
it.
Again, yeah, and that's the main thing. Look, we all get nervous about things. We all
sure.
want to have, be successful at things and maybe achieve certain things. But here's the bottom line for all of our listeners today. Look, if you know Jesus Christ, that's where your security lies. That's where your hope lies. That's where your eternity lies because of what Jesus has done for you on the cross. You know, the Bible says that he died on the cross 2,000 years ago for a very specific reason, to die for everyone's sins. And you say, well, if he died for everyone's sins, I must be okay. Well, no, hold on. There's a catch. He did die for everyone's sins. But unless you accept that personally for you, unless you say, Jesus, I accept it for me, then it doesn't apply to you. It's available. But it only applies to those who accept it, which means you've got to say, all right, the Bible says you've got to confess your sins. So you go to God and say, God, I'm a sinner. I'm guilty of sin. And then you have to say, and then acknowledge, I believe you died for my sin on the cross. And the Bible says if you do that, that Jesus' blood will then be imputed or attributed to you. He'll wash away your sins. And now when you stand before him on judgment day, and by the way, the Bible says every human will stand before the Lord on judgment day. If you stand before him as a believer with your sins forgiven, the only thing you're going to hear from the Lord is, enter into the joy of the Lord, and here's your reward. But if you stand before the Lord and you don't know him, you're going to hear the condemnation of eternity, and you're going to be cast out from the kingdom into eternal darkness, and what the Bible says is a lake of fire for all time. And that right there should break everyone's heart who knows the Lord. We want you to come to Christ. If you've not made that commitment to the Lord, I encourage you right now in your heart, ask the Lord to do that. Ask him to forgive you of your sins. Confess your sins to him and tell him, Lord, I realize now that I'm a sinner. I need to be saved. And confess your sins. Tell him you believe he died for you on the cross. Receive him as your Lord and Savior. And the Bible says you'll be born again. That is, your spirit will now come alive. It's currently dead. It will come alive. And then you will have eternity in the kingdom with the Lord. And what a great look on this day that at least the Jews are celebrating, with the day that the Lord would have resurrected from the dead. You can resurrect from a spiritual death into eternal life if you simply pray that prayer. And, you know, we never know, Greg, when we're doing this, how many people out there, or if any, you know, are praying that prayer. But you know what? God knows, and God sees you right now. And if you're praying that from your heart, He knows, and He will accept you and receive you. And I certainly hope you make that decision, not just because eternity is for a long time, but because He loves you, and He wants you celebrating at His table in the kingdom of God and with all of His family and whom He calls His bride forever and ever. And so hopefully you'll respond to that today.
Yeah. Pastor Mark, thank you so much as always. And folks, thank you for tuning in, whether you were listening live online or later on one of our podcast episodes. We do appreciate it. We invite you always to visit our website at thewaybeingdated.net, where you can get more than just Signs of the Times. You can listen to Pastor Mark's daily radio program, his Bible teaching program, Come to the Table. You can listen to our radio station, WIAM, or listen to the teachings from Calvary Knoxville Live. We love you guys. Have a great weekend. We'll see you back here next Friday at 1:30 for more Signs of the Times. Follow